Hello and welcome to another talk on Christian Science. This is Ann Beals, and my talk is coming to you from thebookmark.com, a website devoted entirely to Christian Science. This is the first in a series of talks entitled Christian Science in the 21st Century. I'm delighted that you're joining me in this talk because I want to show you the connection between the latest discoveries by the natural scientists and Christian Science. I hope this talk will give you a new insight into what Christian Science is and how it relates to our modern times. I'm going to talk about Christian Science as a scientific discovery as well as a divine revelation, and how it is the key to the mysterious realm of supreme intelligence that the natural scientists have discovered. You know, it's a very exciting time we live in because we're seeing the dawn of a new age. It's coming about because the natural sciences are discovering an invisible realm beyond the five senses, one of supreme intelligence. It seems we're discovering the presence of God in the universe. My friend, there's never been a time like this in the history of the world, and we're living in it. I can't begin to describe to you the infinite good waiting for us as we learn more about this hidden realm. I'd like to begin by sharing with you a few remarks from the many books being written on this new development. They're books by those in the scientific community. The well-known physicist Sir James Jeans was among the first to comment on the mental nature of creation. Long before the presence of a supreme intelligence was evident, he wrote, "The stream of knowledge is heading towards a non-mechanical reality. The universe begins to look more like a great thought than a great machine." More recently, Robert Clark wrote in his book, The Universe, Plan or Accident, he says, "Design, or at least the appearance of design, runs like a silver thread through every main branch of science. It confronts us no matter what part of nature it is that we examine." And in his book, God the Evidence, Patrick Glenn writes of unexpected new layers of intricate order that bespeak an almost unimaginably vast master plan. And in the face of God, Gerald Schroeder writes that our universe had a metaphysical beginning. Something, or more accurately stated, some non-thing, an eternal whatever, predates our universe. This whatever it is has no bodily parts, is totally non-material, is eternal, and though being absolutely nothing physically, has the infinite potential to produce vast universes. Well, from this, we can see that there are too many details and too vast a plan, all so perfect and so precise, for the universe to be one of chance and probability. It's becoming apparent that a supreme intelligence is creating and maintaining the whole of creation. Now, recognizing the presence of this thinking cause and knowing what it's like are two different things. The natural scientist can't tell us what's in this invisible realm because it's beyond the five senses. There's nothing material about it to probe and analyze. So, to know what this realm is like, we now have to shift from physics to metaphysics. In a way, we're transcending material cause and effect and entering a realm that is purely mental. Whereas we've been studying God's creation, we're now beginning to study the Creator Himself. Today, as our image of the universe takes on new form and meaning, Christian Science has a huge role to play in the changes taking place, because this science provides the first real insight into this hidden realm beyond the senses. And so the 21st century opens a new chapter in the Christian Science movement. It seems inevitable that Christian Science will take on the role of a very advanced scientific discovery as well as a divine revelation. I want to emphasize here that the supreme intelligence recognized by the natural scientists and the intelligence of the one infinite mind defined in science and health are one and the same thing. Christian Science begins where the natural scientists fade out. Considered in this light, Christian Science becomes a scientific discovery of the first magnitude. It is a vision that enables us to enter this invisible, intangible realm. The natural scientists are viewing this realm from the outside, looking in, so to speak. And so it's a mysterious unknown to them. But Christian Science begins in the heart of this supreme intelligence, our divine mind. It goes deep into it and begins with the source, the very cause itself. The scientific discovery of a supreme intelligence in the universe came through the brilliant work of many dedicated scientists. But the actual nature of this hidden realm came as a revelation to one person. While the scientists were studying the universe, Mary Baker Eddy was studying the Bible. She was trying to understand how Christ Jesus healed as he did. Then, in 1866, in a time of great need, she prayed once again, and there was revealed to her the presence and nature of this hidden realm of divine mind. It was one of those extremely rare moments when a great universal truth appeared to a mind prepared to understand it. With this revelation, she was healed. She later put her revelation in a book and published the first edition of Science and Health in 1875. Now, a century passed before the natural scientists began to recognize the presence of a thinking cause in the universe, and they have yet to learn that latent in this invisible realm is a healing power beyond any we have ever known. Mrs. Eddy did more than discover this realm. She clearly defined the nature of this supreme intelligence and showed it to be the foundation to Christ Jesus' healing works. Those who understand Christian Science can heal as the early Christians healed, through prayer alone. Think how awesome this is, that the way is opening to actually know what Christ Jesus knew in healing as he did. To do such things, he had to have something far more than blind faith or a mystic relationship to God. He had to have an advanced intelligence that he could teach to others. And as we venture ever deeper into this realm of supreme intelligence, we will learn to use the scientific and spiritual laws that enable Jesus to heal, because Christian Science and the supreme intelligence in this hidden realm are one and the same thing. To enter this hidden realm of intelligence by means of Mrs. Eddy's revelation is one of the greatest moments in history. It's the beginning of a new age. I think of it as the spiritual age. You know, I'll never forget the first time I began to see this. It was many years ago when I was subscribing to the Saturday Evening Post, and this magazine published a series of articles called Adventures of the Mind. They were by well-known authorities in many different fields. And as I read the ones on the sciences, I learned for the first time that the natural scientists had never found a final material cause for the universe. Instead, they had passed through the visible universe, and they were discovering that there is no hard, solid, material substance in the whole of creation. You know, I was amazed. I'd assumed that some final material cause had been found. For the first time, I began to think of Christian Science as something far more than a religion. It could be the key to the unseen realm that lies beyond the senses. And I was fascinated with this idea. As I followed scientific progress over the years, I realized that in time, Christian Science would probably be recognized as the key to this hidden realm of mind. Then, when I learned that the sciences were finding the presence of an intelligent cause in the universe, I was incredulous. For myself, I'd always wondered how such mindless forces as gravity and electromagnetism could take just a limited number of atomic elements and create all the miracles of nature. You know, the stars and planets and ladybugs and lilies and dogs and cats and men and women. And when I learned of this supreme intelligence coming to light in the natural sciences, my first thought was, can this actually be happening? Is God really proving his presence through the sciences? I thought, how brilliant, how absolutely ingenious. Who would have thought that the scientists, so convinced of material cause and effect, would come to the place where they were facing something more to creation than matter and its laws? I believe that this discovery of an intelligent power behind the universe is the greatest scientific discovery ever made. I'd read Mrs. Eddy's many references to the universe and man as spiritual, and so I never really accepted the idea of a material cause as the origin of all things. But I never dreamed that the time would come when the presence of God would be proven through the sciences. So now, here we are, face to face with this invisible, intangible cause that can't be known through scientific methods because it fills a non-material realm. And there it is, the great unknown, waiting for us to seek it out and understand it. Now, next in this talk, I want to share with you how Christian Science opens the way into this unseen realm of mind. This invisible dimension is a great mystery at this time. I want to share with you now a way to begin your own adventure into it. And this will take some vision or imagination on your part, but you can begin by adding a spiritual dimension to the universe. An intelligent, creative, logical, powerful, and ever-present thinking cause underlying all things. In other words, a supreme mind known as God. Now, this realm is far more than a supreme intelligence designing a material universe. We're going to find out that the universe itself is spiritual. You know, even the natural sciences are beginning to acknowledge this. Ultimately, we will see the universe complete with its spiritual cause, just as we see it now, resting on a scientific foundation. Hints of this are found in many books in the scientific progress taking place. Edwin Turner, in The Light at the Edge of the Universe, writes, "We more or less don't know how anything forms, dust, stars, galaxies, anything." And in The Universe, Plan or Accident, Mr. Clark tells us that It's impossible, or at least extremely difficult, to avoid the conclusion that the plan of the universe was due to a mind behind it, a mind separate from nature but able to act upon nature from without. Of course, the mind he refers to is nothing less than God. Mrs. Eddy was the first in modern times to see through the veil of matter into this heavenly realm and define the mind that inhabits it. In Science and Health, she wrote, "The fading forms of matter, the mortal body and material earth, are the fleeting concepts of the human mind. They have their day before the permanent facts and their perfection in spirit appear." And in another brief passage, she tells us, "Infinite mind is the creator, and creation is the infinite image or idea emanating from this mind. If mind is within and without all things, then all is mind, and this definition is scientific." I just think this was written over a century ago. Can you see how Christian Science takes us beyond the veil of matter into the very realm of mind itself? This science is the most advanced form of intelligence on Earth today. It not only accurately defines the laws, qualities, and nature of God, it shows how the universe and our own individual being are one with this divine cause. Now, Christian Science does not begin on the outside of the physical forms and try to press beneath the surface of this unseen realm. It begins in the very heart of this hidden realm with God Himself and relates this divine cause to the universe and man. Now remember, we're talking about the supreme intelligence that the natural sciences brought to light. They're one and the same. When you study Christian Science, you're learning about the supreme intelligence underlying the whole of creation. In a way, Mrs. Eddy opened the spiritual age with a revelation that reaches far into the future. For example, even her earliest writings included the statement, "There is no matter." And while she was still here, Einstein published his theory of relativity with his famous equation, E=mc². And matter disappeared from the universe. He proved mathematically that there is no solid matter as we think of it, only space and energy. You know, I've come to call such scientific discoveries the unexpected. If we look back over the past 500 years or so, we see how often the human mind has had to adjust to the unexpected. When Copernicus showed that the Earth moved around the sun, this unexpected discovery had a lasting impact on the world, for man was no longer the center of the universe. And when Newton's equations proved that physical laws were the foundation to creation, scientific facts replaced the will of God. Darwin wrote Origin of the Species, showing that life on Earth was far more than 7 days in the making. And then came Einstein, who proved there are no hard billiard ball atoms, all is space and energy. Again and again, the natural sciences had discovered that things are not what they seem to be. Now they've brought us once again face to face with the unexpected. The natural sciences are finding from their decades of research that the universe is not only the result of a supreme intelligence, but this supreme intelligence has carefully created a universe with one purpose in mind: to provide a home for man. And this has brought about what is known as the anthropic principle. I find that it's fascinating the way the anthropic principle came about. It is the end result of the many scientific discoveries that took place during the last century. Beginning in the early 1900s, the different sciences such as astronomy, physics, biochemistry, were each focused on their own special fields. And as technology became increasingly sophisticated, they were each going deeper and deeper into the structure of matter and further into outer space. And their work was all based on the idea that the universe was the effect of a material cause. And so for many years, the various scientific fields were smashing atoms and probing the outer edges of space and observing the many parts of the cell and making new discoveries. And then, towards the end of the last century, they began to put their discoveries together into one overall picture. And once again, they were faced with the unexpected. It turned out that the universe was a creation of such extreme accuracy, such complexity, such overall design, plan, order, law, and creativity, that it couldn't possibly be the result of mindless matter and godless forces. It just could not have come about through chance and probability. There had to be a mind so deep and vast that we can't begin to imagine what it is like or how it works. Or perhaps I should say how it thinks. One thing is certain, the scientists did not find material cause for creation because there is none. But even more amazing is the perfection with which the entire universe is created. Out of an infinite number of possibilities, it has been carefully constructed to support life, to be a home for man. So the anthropic principle means basically that not only does the universe rest on a supreme intelligence, but this intelligence has specifically designed the whole of creation to care for man and all living things. Mr. Glenn writes in God the Evidence, "The anthropic principle marked an important turning point in the history of science. The first time a scientific discovery seemed to take us toward, rather than away from, the idea that there is a God." And then he adds, "The universe is a product of intelligence and aim, that in the absence of an intelligent organization of 1,000 details, vast and small, we would not exist. Today, the concrete data point strongly in the direction of God hypotheses. It is the simplest and most obvious solution to the anthropic puzzle. Until recently, we were led to believe there is no thinking cause behind the universe, only material cause and effect. We now have to change our image of the universe and see it as having an unseen dimension, an intelligent cause. We can do this because generations before us have faced the unexpected and they've made the adjustment. Discoveries don't affect the universe. They simply change the mental image we have of it. We don't invent these ideas. We discover them. When we have discovered the unexpected and changed our image of the universe, we simply exchanged mental darkness for enlightenment. The thing is, we did change. Now, you see, we face an intelligent cause underlying all things. We're not inventing or imagining this supreme intelligence. It has always been here. But we're having, once again, to change our image of things. We're becoming more enlightened about God and His creation. We're not used to thinking of the world about us as having an intelligent cause. But then, men were not used to thinking of the world as governed by scientific laws. Yet today, we don't even question science and technology. We live and think in them effortlessly. In the spiritual age, we will come to think as easily in divine intelligence as we now think in science and technology. In doing this, we won't lose the good that the sciences have given us. We are simply adding an unseen dimension to the universe, a spiritual dimension that is beyond the five senses. Let me give you several examples that might help you with this idea. Let's say someone sends you a letter written in French, and you can't read French. To you, it's nothing but paper and ink. You ask a friend to tell you what it says. So he reads it, and he's amused or concerned or angry, depending on what the letter says. To him, the letter has taken on a thought dimension. You can't detect this dimension with the five senses, but to your friend, the paper and ink have mental substance, information, even an emotional impact. Even so, the spiritual dimension has substance, intelligence, love, life, and truth. These intangible qualities are present even though we can't see them. Let me give you another illustration. Let's go back 1,000 years to medieval times. Everyone traveled by foot or on horseback. Homes were lit by fire and shared with farm animals, and sowing and reaping was by hand, and life was very hard then. Now, these dear people lived in the same universe we do. They were governed by the same scientific laws we are, but they were completely unconscious of the scientific dimension. They knew nothing about scientific laws, and so they couldn't use them to have a better life. Today, these very laws are the foundation of our modern world. Now, here we are in the 21st century, in the dawn of the spiritual age. We live in this spiritual dimension, but we are unconscious of its presence. To understand the nature and content of this realm will be a great challenge, for this realm is filled with a mind very different from our own. So different, it took a vision and a revelation to open it up for us. Fortunately, we have this revelation already waiting for us. Christian Science is the key to this hidden realm. This science lays the foundation to a new age because it's the first complete and accurate analysis of this spiritual dimension. Now, next I want to explain how we can understand this new realm and how rewarding it will be. Now, we're faced with the challenge of understanding a spiritual realm beyond the senses. We can best begin by realizing that the mind filling this spiritual realm is not like our minds. This realm is far more than a supreme intelligence designing a material universe and a mortal man. There are spiritual depths to this mind that are infinite and eternal. To try to pattern it after our present mind is futile. This thinking cause is not an extension of the human mind. It's the primal cause. There's nothing beyond it. Neither is the spiritual realm a simple study in the character of God as we usually think of Him. This mind is different. Now, I think this is good, that this mind is not like our minds. It's encouraging to me. When you think about it, we've had 6,000 years to learn to live in peace, and we still can't get our act together. So it stands to reason that our minds do not bear much resemblance to the great mind creating the universe. Now, fortunately, there are not many supreme minds, just one, Perhaps God, in his wisdom, felt it was best to go it alone. Certainly, it makes it a lot easier for us. To understand this mind, we have to begin by realizing that this mind is different. We learn about it through the study of divine metaphysics. We learn it like we learn mathematics or music. Actually, Christian Science is a study of the science of God. As we learn more about God, we will change our image of everything. Thought is never so hardened it cannot change. This new realm will no longer be a mystery as our study carries us through the outer rim of this realm into the hidden recesses of the one mind. In this way, Christian Science gives this dawning age form, substance, direction, focus, and meaning. You know, many are already beginning to grasp the depth and scope of this realm through their study of Christian Science, and they're also finding healing. Thousands upon thousands of people from all walks of life have testified of the healing effect this science has had on their lives. It's the vast number of healings on record that provide the proof that something incredibly new and different has been introduced into world consciousness. If such healings are already taking place, what will happen when we come to practice spiritual healing on a universal level? Our collective prayers will transform world consciousness, spiritualizing it with the Word of God. Now, we have to think and pray our way into an understanding of this realm. Until the coming of Christian Science, there was little written that would give us a clue as to how to do this. Today, our education in divine metaphysics begins with the books and transcripts listed on our website, thebookmark.com, and in our catalog. The study of this material is essential. Through it, you discover that God is not off in some distant time and place, but He is as close to you as your thoughts. But you're presently unconscious of this. In reading these books, you begin to feel the presence of this divine mind. Consistent study and prayer enables you to become conscious of God's presence until you find out that you and your Father are one. Now, to summarize the main points of this talk, we're coming to recognize the presence of a supreme intelligence in the universe. We need a way to understand this hidden realm, and Christian Science is the discovery that correctly defines the nature of this unseen dimension. This unseen realm has latent in it a healing power that reinstates the lost art of healing practiced in Bible days. Now, if you will go to our website, www.thebookmark.com, you will find publications that offer far more on this science than I can cover in a talk on this website. Before closing, I want to urge you to read my book, Christian Science and the Myth of Matter. This book goes into greater detail regarding the evidence of a universal supreme intelligence. It explains how God creates and governs all that is real, and it shows you how to begin understanding this realm of mind through Christian Science. This book is written for both the experienced Christian scientist and for one new to it. If you have enjoyed this discussion, you will find Christian Science and the Myth of Matter an essential part of your study. It will give you a whole new perspective on Christian Science and its role in the 21st century. Now, once again, I want to remind you, we listen to learn, but we read to remember. I have enjoyed sharing these ideas with you. I hope you will join me in my next talk. Until then, I close with these words from Christ Jesus. They shall be all taught of God. Goodbye, my friend, and God bless you.